Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. You can listen here live or visit us at www.buildingfortunesradio.com. Building Fortunes Radio supports our members and others looking at the home-based business industry. Your host for Building Fortunes Radio is Peter Mingles, owner of PM Marketing and Network Leads. On this segment of Building Fortunes Radio, Peter has one of our special guests from the MLMIA. The MLMIA is the Multi-Level Marketing International Association. For nearly 30 years, the MLMIA has been a major force in defining the ethics, legalities, and opportunities in network marketing. Listen in and find out why the MLMIA is recognized as a leading source of unbiased network marketing industry data and information by numerous industry, business, and trade publications. Today on our show is Doris Wood. Doris is a founder and also the MLMIA chairperson and president emeritus. Doris Wood is the perfect person to be introducing this segment for the MLMIA. Listen in and share this with your friends so they too can build their fortunes in the MLM home-based business industry. Now, let's get our show started with Peter Mingles and Doris Wood. Take it from here, Peter.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You're listening to Building Fortunes Radio and my very special segment on the MLMIA. For those people that may not be familiar with the MLMIA stands for, it stands for the Multi-Level Marketing International Association. And I have had a great level of respect for the founder of the MLMIA since I got started in this business. One of the first meetings I ever went to was her national convention. And I had never been associated with this industry before, and I saw some of the really, you know, the best vendors, really well-behaved distributors, and other people in the industry. And it was one of my first exposures, and I met some of the top MLM attorneys and some of the top consultants, like I said, the top vendors, and it was a really nice experience. And then I met Doris Wood, and I had a huge level of respect for her because she is someone who built home-based businesses from the ground up. And she was the first in a lot of ways in direct sales and in network marketing, and she took it amongst herself to organize the disorganized in her industry and has been doing so for over 30 years for the almost 30 years for the MLMIA and well over 50 years for herself in the direct sales industry. So when we had a chance to do a Building Fortunes Radio segment, I asked Doris, I said, Doris, it would be a blessing for us to have you on a radio show. And you know, there's a lot of other history that Doris and I have had when we were doing different things with different organizations, and it is a dream come true that I get a chance to speak to her and the unique people that she brings to the radio show on Building Fortunes Radio. So, Doris, I'm going to be kind of quiet to give you the stage. Thank you so much for being here on Building Fortunes Radio.
I don't want you to be quiet, but I really thank you, Peter. But this is really a joy for me, and I am pleased with the guest we have tonight because, and I'm so happy that you introduced me to this gentleman because he's the one I should have known as I was getting started in this industry. And possibly I wouldn't have had to pay all the taxes that I did so many times because I didn't understand so much about it. And years ago, we did not have a specialized tax person for the network marketing industry, but I'm glad we do today. So, Bob, we're so glad you're here, and you've been with us a couple of weeks ago, and I'm so glad you welcomed our invitation to come back and continue where we had left off when we talked before. So I'm just going to turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Doris. I always enjoy our conversations. I know it sounds kind of strange for some guy who loves to talk about taxes, of all things, but I do. And I've been in this industry of tax preparations for small home-based businesses now for 30 years, a little over 30 years. And that has been my key focus for a long time. I really enjoy teaching people, showing people that having a home-based business is one of the greatest, greatest tax strategies you could ever implement. And I don't mean it as a supplemental way of being able to lose money from the wages you're already earning. I'm talking about the huge big picture of being able to take your dream, your inspired vision, your wants, your needs, and be able to put it into something, into reality, something that creates your own economy, something that's going to support you now, your family, your children, and in the future. And having a home-based business and utilizing that with tax strategies and then, you know, fitting that into a very good financial plan, it's the only way to go, guys. It's the only way to go. So, yes, I'm a huge advocate, a firm believer in home-based businesses and taking advantage of it. You know, Peter, we're going to get started a conversation, and I'm looking forward to it, but I something came across my mind that's kind of interesting. You know, I was talking at a seminar in Salt Lake, last year, somewhere on that line, a new startup company, and they had probably 160 people in this particular room that I was speaking. And I asked three people to stand up, 1, 2, 3. And they identified with a particular tax deduction that most people take. Now, if you're a wage earner and you have a J-O-B, just over broke, business, I mean, you're working, okay, the main three tax deductions you have are your children, your home, and your education. Now, what happens to those in time? Your
kids
home gets paid off. Yeah,
yep,
you lose
up.
That mortgage interest, okay? The kids, they grow up and hopefully leave the house, okay? And then finally, the education, which you've been paying for, is paid off.
Oh,
and
wow, good.
Being able to write off is gone. And so you take a look at, so what do you have left? Not much. So I had those three people sit down, and I had everybody else in the whole room stand up, which is 157 people, but the truth is 159, deductions that are available on having a home-based business. And it doesn't go away when you get older. It's there as long as you choose to be playing the game of being self-employed and having a home-based business, living your dream, sharing your vision. You are actually being supported by Congress and by the IRS to make your dream come true, to supply you with your family the opportunity to build something, because that is the mainstream of America. That's what made us great in the very beginning. It continues to make us great because we have the ability to support ourselves in chasing our dreams. So, yeah, I'm a firm believer in learning how to play the tax game. And we'll talk about a program I wrote a little later called What Counts. What we're going to do now is we're going to say, okay, Peter, what are we going to talk about today? What's going to be exciting?
You know, for me, I'm always I always like to start off from the beginning that people that are W-2 earners are absolutely crazy if they are not trying to build a profitable home-based business. Because the rules are set. You know, if you talk about the game is set for those people to have the government help, and I'm using all the wrong words here, so I'm telling everybody right now I'm using all the wrong words, but just for effect, the government will help you subsidize your home-based business until it becomes so profitable you'll eventually have to pay taxes on the profit. So let me kind of explain. Bob, as you're going to go through some of the basic tax deductions, if you're a W-2 earner and you're saying to yourself, I'd like to make more money. If they go out and get another job, they get another job and they have the taxes taken out. But if they join a business, let's talk a little bit about just the difference in the tax ramifications, the double-edged sword, two cherries on the cake, if you will. Instead of just go getting another job for X amount of money, maybe per hour, what's the difference between getting another job and starting another starting a business from the tax ramifications and to their bottom line?
Well, we'll make it real easy, okay? If you have a job, you have the mumps. And if you go get another job, you just added measles, okay? Because seriously, all you've done is opened up this open siphon that the government is going to use, because there's a set amount that they're going to suck out of you for taxes. It's just set. Now, it's true your withholdings can be modified and all that kind of stuff. But that payroll tax at 20%, take a look at that. Oh, my heavens, that is a major chunk. And then whatever's left over, since they're taking away more and more, like on your Schedule A, it used to be 7.5% for a haircut on medical. Now it's 10%. You know, there's more and more things that are being taken away, and so your untaxed money that you get to put in your pocket get smaller and smaller and smaller. And when you go out and work, gee, yes, and add an extra job, you're going to increase your income. And what happens with that? Oh, that moves you up a tax bracket. Oh, they're going to take more away from you. So it's kind of insane. And the other part, you know, and you know, I'm not here to assess and put a judgment on anybody. That's not my job, okay? That is not my job. What I'm here to share is, for some people who want just a job, they want to keep their life very simple, they don't want to do anything more, they don't really have any aspirations to create and share, having a job is the answer. But doggone it, I know that deep inside, all of us as human beings have an innate desire, an absolute desire to share and to create. And so if you could take that creative juice, and it doesn't matter what it is, it could be art, it can be music, it can be, you know, business, it can be, you know, helping other people in lots of different ways, whether it's with, you know, medical stuff to sell, health stuff to sell, health care, or whatever. I mean, whatever you want to get yourself immersed into, you do something because you can be passionate about it and you can live it. You can live it. I know, for example, I'm sitting here in my office and I'm doing taxes, okay, because that's my job. But I'm also doing something in creative space in the radio network arena. Now, my job, I do enjoy, and I have a whole bunch of benefits that I write off, but my passion is in teaching and in doing the radio shows. And so am I happy? Oh, my gosh, my wife can hardly stand it. I am just so happy because I'm allowing myself to have an outport someplace that my passion can go out and do something. Now, when we do that, we have the opportunity to take on those 159 deductions and throw it into a Schedule C for a start, for a sole proprietorship or a one-member LLC, and then build on it and enhance on it and grow on it and apply so many options, so many benefits, and another word for it is so many blessings that are available to reduce your taxes. It's just a matter of learning how to play the game. And once you see the game, oh, my goodness, it's fun. Your turn, Peter.
So let's go. Yep, yeah. No, I had you on mute because I had you on mute because you were on a roll. So let's just talk about something. For instance, like, I don't want to sound like people sometimes just don't get it. But in reference to the power of having a home-based business, and
but they
documenting,
don't.
I know, but they don't, right? It doesn't make sense. But Bob, let's talk about, you know, that second job. If you needed to make some extra money, the natural thing would be was let me go get a second job. But if you knew mm-hmm. that actually getting a second job wasn't, or increasing the hours somewhere wasn't really going to be beneficial to you, it actually would work against you relative to the same amount of time and effort maybe put into a home-based business. Let's talk about the world that opens up. And I know this is a little bit of an overlap of what we asked or what we spoke about the first time, but until they get it, they just don't get it. So, mm-hmm. for instance, if I was a W-2 earner and I decided that I wanted to pick up a job for, say I could find something for $10 or $15 an hour, so I go out there and put out another 10 hours or 20 hours a week, which means I'm away from home, my tax rate probably went up a little bit. You know, they're still taking out Social Security. They're still taking out all the other deductions. I still have to get there. I'm still spending time away from the house. Maybe, just maybe, by the time I'm all done with that sort of stuff, the amount of real money that I can actually use is just a few dollars more per week by the time all the deductions are really factored in. But if I took that 10 hours a week and I decided that I wanted to go build a home-based business, even if I didn't make a lot of money, what happens to the amount of legitimate tax deductions, and what will that really mean to me relative to the amount of money I would have normally overpaid in the pursuit of building a profitable business?
One more time, it's mumps and measles, okay? When you go out and search for a second job, here's what most people run into. If you find something that's pretty similar to what you're already doing and you're passionate about it, that's great, but just like Peter pointed out, yeah, you do have more time away from your family instead of having a home-based business that you're sharing with your family. but you also have driving. And I'm going to use that just as an example. So let's say your A job is 30 miles to and 30 miles back. That's 60 miles that you're commuting back and forth to go to back, you know, to work. Is that tax deductible?
No.
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 Oh, so we pick up a second job, and it's closer to home. Yay, it's only 15 miles away. Okay, so we go there, we come home. Is that mileage deductible?
No.
No.
No, it's not deductible. If you have a home-based business and you have to go to Walmart to buy something for your business and pick up some groceries or whatever you're going to get there, is that mileage deductible on your business?
Yes.
Yeah. So it just only makes sense. I know that if you were to allow yourself, and this is the hardest part for most
people. What's the mileage? But, Bob, what's the mileage number? I mean, what is it this year?
56 cents a mile, I think.
Wowee.
That's a lot. That is a lot.
So
you know,
let me put this into perspective. So 50 somewhat cents. So let's just round it down to 50 cents. Here's the salesman in me and the way I would explain this. If you decide that you want to get a second job as opposed to a home-based business, here's the deal. Go get that second job, but every other mile, bring a whole bunch of dollar bills with you. Every other mile on your way to that second job, take a dollar bill and throw it out the window. Because that's really what you're doing. So if 15 miles there, you're going to 15 miles there, you bring a whole stack of dollar bills every other mile, throw a dollar out, throw a dollar out, throw a dollar out, throw a dollar out. Yeah.
That's $7.50. That's $15 during the day you're throwing away.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Which represents
I can
what?
Add.
Which represents what per hour that you just were trying to make. And then, Bob, that's just the mileage deductions that you'd be saving one way or another.
That's just one.
So, but when we first started, you heard me say a couple of times emotionally, like, people are nuts if they're not involved in a home-based business.
Yep.
This is just like one example, like, are you not getting it? You know, like, what point are you not getting? So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Keep going.
Another point that's really important about having a home-based business, you know, since I am a very firm advocate in self-awareness and people becoming, get a real feel for what your passion is, you know, to get rid of the inhibitions of a belief that's stopping you, the fear. You know, a lot of people I talk to, IRS and GOD are the same thing, and they just have this huge fear of wanting to step up and play. They just don't know how, they don't know, and they hear all these horrific stories. Okay, and every time you hear a story and it becomes true for you, then that story becomes true for everybody. It only takes two people to make a story true. Getting to realize that the IRS, in all honesty, if you play the game, is the least of your worries. I assure you. When you take a look, first of all, at an audit rate of less than 1%. Okay? Secondly, if you have and you understand what the game looks like, getting an education about what's deductible, what's taxable, how to record all that stuff in a way that would represent your business in a presentation to the IRS in case of an audit could make it absolutely bulletproof, totally bulletproof. I've gone to hundreds of audits with clients for various reasons. And those that have the most immaculate record-keeping system, my gosh, those are the fastest audits, and I love them, just love them. But the ones that walk in with the shoebox full of receipts, I think it's all here, and we spend hours going over all their records only to find out that the information that they had given on their original tax return was way off. They were pulling numbers out of the air or whatever they were doing. You know, I have this picture on my wall, and it's got this big, fat, beautiful, beautiful pig, and then it's got this hog's head with an apple sticking in it sitting on a platter. Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. People who make up numbers because they're not willing to take the time to get serious about that little portion of the game open the invitation for an audit because they have software that reviews everything. and it falls within a certain parameters. This is what your outlay for materials for the type of business you're in should be. If it's outside of that, whoa. And how about this one? How about that one? So playing the game and playing it honestly really is a key feature. But what I want to do is I want to take the fear of the IRS and throw it away. You don't need to be afraid of the IRS. But what you do need to be concerned about is your records. How can you tell where you're going and implement any kind of a financial plan for your future if you don't know where you're at? It's so critical that you have a constant, up-to-date accounting system that gives you meaningful numbers so that you can properly address just not only your tax return, but you can plot and see, oh, is my business being successful? What am I doing that's wrong? Where's my expense categories that are way out of alignment? How can I implement a strategy here which is going to reduce my taxability there and let me allow me to put more money in my pocketo?
You know,
that,
Bob,
is what the game is.
The last time we talked, you were really great when we started talking about the fact that people, this is one of the where I made my big mistake when my children were growing up. They did so much, but I never deducted that amount. So why don't you talk just for a minute about that? That can be so important right now for people that are getting ready to do their taxes that that they can, most of them do not know that they can take deductions if their children help them.
One of the greatest blessings of having a home-based business, you get to enroll your children into the same dream. Now, while they may have passions that go another direction, opportunity for them to see what entrepreneurship looks like and to experience it within the warm embrace of a home environment, man, you just planted one of the greatest seeds in the furthering of America, period. Having your children between the ages of, Peter?
7 to 24.
Yes, sirree, doodah, helping you with your business. And by doing that, I'm saying you assign them a job. You record the hours. You record the pay. You record everything about that particular child doing that particular job. 100% deductible to you. Okay? The cool part is, yes, you're going to have to do payroll, but the payroll process for that is at the end of the year. It's one simple process. There's no matching withholdings. There's no insurance. There's nothing. I mean, it's just simple. You're going to give them a W-2. And as long as the amount that you paid them is less than the minimal amount required to file taxes, you got to write off $5,900, and they got to receive it and not have to report it.
Now you
so
said W-2.
What does that
You said W-2. Did you mean 1099?
I said a W-2. Nope, I meant a W-2. These are employees, but because they're family members, children, grandchildren, nephews, nieces, direct relatives of any kind that are helping you with that business, that you're paying them to do a job, they are an employee. You treat them like an employee as far as your record keeping is concerned. If you put them on a 1099, they have to do a Schedule C and pay self-employment tax on it. If you put them on as an employee, there is no tax for them. Hire the kids is a great blessing, man. I highly encourage anybody who's stepping into having a home-based business.
What's the maximum that they can make?
Around $5,900. It changes every year.
Okay.
You know, it increases every year. I remember when it was at one time when I first started preaching this stuff and teaching this stuff, it was less than $3,000. You know, but now it's got up there, the $5,900 range. Every year is a little bit different, but just being aware that you can pay your child. So let's take a look just for a moment. And I realize I'm going over my one-minute mark here, Doris. I apologize. But if you have a child that you're helping with school clothes, with entertainment, with whatever, why not let that child learn accountability? Pay them for doing a job. Let them have that money so that they can feel, you know, accountable in their life for their money. It's going to change their perspective about accountability completely around. And also, it's 100% deductible to you. So why not?
And this is true even if a child is in college and up to the age of 24?
Up to the age of 24, as long as they're in college. Now, if they're not in college.
They are in college.
Yeah, at 18, it's a cutoff, okay? But if they're going to school, yeah, you can still include them in the business. Now, the key thing is you give them a job but not a salary. They can't be in a salaried position. Go ahead, Peter.
And they can do legitimate things, obviously. They're supposed to do legitimate things, which could help you with your social networking, lick the stamps, post, do the postcards, do the flyers, help with conference calls. There's a lot of things for them to do. But do they only have to be your direct children?
The way it looks is this, okay? You have children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews. Anything that is in a strong familial relationship, okay? And it needs to be a direct. You can't hire the neighbor's kid, which has no blood relative relationship to you, and make it work. It won't work.
And Doris, I think you wanted to say something.
I wish I would have known this, but I do have several grandchildren that are in college, and I would love when they come to visit me, you know, give them something. I mean, I give them money anyway. It would be nice to have them work for the money because they do. They want to help.
Of course.
So, yeah, and you could do this just on a short time basis as long as you keep the records, correct?
Yep, keep the records. Now, the cool part is I have a program.
What's the $600? I thought that was if they made over $600.
That $600 mark has to do with the requirement for filing a 1099. And we're not doing a 1099.
Okay.
We're doing W-2s. And we don't do the W-2s till the end of the year. And there's no payroll taxes associated to it.
Yay!
Okay, Peter, I'm looking at the clock here.
Yeah, we're almost
done, right? Okay.
Yeah,
I want to throw one more item out there. Folks, if you haven't heard before, and I know that Peter preaches and teaches it like crazy, there's a program that I wrote called What Counts. That's a free download. Now, inside that program, you can record your children's working and give that report to your accountant, and he can make those W-2s and all the required forms to be done for you on your behalf. You have an ironclad record. The IRS can't argue it. Inside that program, you can track your mileage. Oh, we talked about that too, didn't we? We can track about business use of the home, which we didn't touch on today, but we did last time we talked. You can have a full accounting system that's going to tell you moment by moment by moment exactly where you are in your business. Are you succeeding? Are you failing? What do you need to do? What can happen? What are your options? And when you get to the point when you're making too much money, it's time to put a business entity in play. And the other part that's important that you realize inside this particular program, there are 29 videos which tell you what to do for every page that give you an education of 100 deductions of what they are and where to put them. Okay, all of that is included in there. And like I harped out at the very beginning, education is the key. It is the key. Learning to play the game. Because when you play the game
totally
and you lower the amount of taxes you pay, the more you put in your pocket.
Yep, and we're almost done. We're going to make sure that you have that link on the MLMIARadio.com, and we're going to make sure you have that link for MLMIA.com. So for all those people that want to take advantage of Bob's good gracious and free software, no hooks, no gotchas, no nothing, just totally free, his gift to the industry, you'll want to check this out. Guys, believe it or not, we're done with this radio show. I can't believe it. So half hour went so fast. Doris Wood, thanks for being here. This is Peter Mingles, and we have Bob Adams. Bob's our tax guy, and we'll have you back. Thanks, everyone. Good night for now.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio. This is a special weekly segment for the Multi-Level Marketing International Association known as the MLMIA. Join us live every Monday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, or listen to the recordings on buildingfortunesradio.com and on the MLMIA website. For nearly 30 years, the MLMIA has been a major force in defining the ethics, legalities, and opportunities in network marketing. With Doris Wood as the founder, chairperson, and president emeritus, the MLMIA is recognized as the leading source of unbiased network marketing industry data and information by numerous industry, business, and trade publications. If you're a distributor, vendor, or company owner, you'll want to become part of the MLMIA. Learn more about the MLMIA by attending any one of their teleclasses, subscribing to their newsletters by visiting www.mlmia.com. the MLMIA. Get involved today. And thanks for listening to Building Fortunes Radio. In closing, Peter, our distinguished MLMIA guest, and I wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for.